Today is March 2nd. This is Governmental Operations and Veterans Affairs. Welcome, members. I have a few announcements here before we get started. First of all, I'm going to pass around the co-author sheets again for House File 2840, which we passed out of committee yesterday. Anyone interested in being co-author on that, if you didn't get an opportunity yesterday, because I know several members were in other meetings, please jot your name on that and get that back to me before the end of meeting. I appreciate that. And I wanted to make an announcement, too, that today we're just hearing one bill. We're starting off with the task force report and then go into House File 2972. And if there's anybody in the audience that wants to testify for or against House File 2972 today, there is a notebook in the back there, smaller notebook. Please sign in, and we'll get you up after the bill presentation. So appreciate that. And I announced yesterday that we have a new page from on our staff here, and I'm going to give him a minute to just introduce himself since we didn't give him that opportunity yesterday. And as you recall, our page last year, Brooke Peterson, who set high standards for pages for this committee, is now a staff member in the House as a legislative assistant. So with that, Chad, if you could just tell us a little bit about your background while you're here. You've got the floor. Chad Hall.
All right. Chad Hall, obviously. I'm from Wisconsin, Cheesehead. I went to college at UW-River Falls, just recently graduated there with a history degree, and just kind of pursued this, another interesting thing to do in my life, and hopefully next fall I will be attending school again for my master's degree for teaching.
Great.
That's about it.
All right. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Thank you. Okay, a couple more quick announcements. As you can see in your agenda, initially we are scheduled to meet this afternoon to complete this bill. I'm thinking that we probably don't need that time, so we'll see how many people want to testify today. This bill that we're hearing today will be heard in both environment policy and environment finance. So members, I know we had this afternoon scheduled on your calendar, and it looks like we probably will not need that. I know there's a Chamber of Commerce meeting tonight that various people were concerned about getting to that on time, so that's probably going to be fine. And then for next week, remember we have a shortened week because of precinct caucuses, so we meet on our regular time on Wednesday and Thursday at 10:15. And we have on the agenda the bills that we'll have up on Wednesday, and then watch the website for the Thursday bills. And as you recall, Thursday will be a short committee time because of the State of the State address. So I think we'll only be meeting for about 45 minutes or an hour on Thursday. So we'll only have a couple of short bills on Thursday. And then the following week we'll go back into our regular schedule. And as you recall from the insert in your packet yesterday, we have several extra meetings added on, and as the days go by, we're getting more and more re-referrals to our committee, so we'll, I'm sure, have a full month here in March, and appreciate your help in getting to committee. Okay, let's get started here. Representative Hosh?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move for approval of the minutes after we meet.
Thank you, Representative Hosh. Moves approval of the minutes of the March 1st meeting. Any discussion? All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and minutes are approved. Thank you, Representative Hosh. Okay. Today we have up before us the report of the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund Advisory Task Force, and you have the report in your packet, and then the remainder of the materials in your packet relate to the second half of the meeting, which will be the House File 2972, which was drafted based on the report of the task force. And so I'd like to bring up to the testifying stand here the co-chairs of the task force, Mr. David Zentner and Representative Lauren Solberg. And as they come up here, I'll mention that the big, thick notebook that's on the testifying stand there was a lot of their work during the last several months. And this group was established because of discussion last year in the legislature about the structure of the Legislative Commission on Minnesota Resources. And members, as you recall, currently there are 20 legislators on that group, on that commission, and this proposal, this task force has worked on an alternative way to involve more citizens in that decision making. This is the funding that comes from the proceeds of the state lottery, the Minnesota Trust Fund. And just FYI, the second half of the meeting, when I'm presenting my bill, Representative Kahn will be chairing the meeting, and she was a member of that task force, and as you know too, she's the lead Democrat on this committee and former chair of this committee, so I look forward to her chairing the second half of the meeting. So with that, members, I'd like to welcome our two co-chairs of the task force, Mr. David Zentner and Representative Lauren Solberg. So welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Just about had me in jail.
Never.
Well, Madam Chair and members, thank you. Before we start, also in the audience today are a couple of other people that were members of the task force. Gary Ladig, the former senator, raise your hand, Gary, served with distinction on the task force. And then from the governor's office, Bob Soder, was also an ex-official member of the task force, along with yourself, Madam Chair. It's a pleasure to be here, and we'll walk you through some of the highlights of our recommendations that we came to when we started out at very opposite types of goals and came to, I think, is a very good center ground and a way of addressing the problems or perceived problems. And I'd like to start off by having co-chair, which we became very good friends. We even spent a lot of hours together in closed rooms trying to get this thing done. But Dave Zittner from Duluth, he's added a great deal of interest and insight into this final product, and appreciate his work.
Thank you, Lauren. Good morning, everyone, Madam Chair and committee members. I am pleased to be here with Lauren. We represent an interesting set of co-chairs. We began from opposites in terms of our perspectives and perceptions in terms of what was best for the state of Minnesota and the application of the net monies from the Trust Fund for Natural Resource Improvements in our state. As the co-chair representing the 8 citizens that the governor appointed, we were all very interested in significantly augmenting talented and expert citizens' participation in the process. In fact, came to the table believing that it would be best if that was done entirely by citizens making project decisions. We listened to the proposal very closely that Governor Pawlenty presented a year ago in terms of adhering to the principles of adherence to the constitutional purpose, significant involvement of Minnesota citizens, a strategic plan that was long-term and focused results so that it had, at the end of a period of time, the impact of this was discernible. As my co-chair said just a moment ago, there have been criticisms and perceptions that we tried to address, and in the process of doing that, we listened to the Citizens Advisory Committee, we listened to citizen testimony both in person and written, we had representatives of citizen apparatus come to us in this room and make their presentations from the states of Colorado, Nebraska, and Missouri. We also, using the assets that we have here through House Research, evaluated other states like North Carolina. We listened to folk from Minnesota, like the Minnesota Arts Board and the McKnight Foundation. We ended up treating each other, I think, throughout the entire course of our 8 meetings respectfully, thoughtfully, and we compromise. And we give you this morning a recommendation from our task force that is unanimous. 16 of us, and we believe it's more than a compromise. I'm very positive that this will make a difference for our state. It will make a difference for the use of these monies, and they are monies that are needed and very valuable. I'll close with those comments, and I look forward to discussion as we proceed through this.
Thank you, Mr. Zentner.
Madam Chair and members, I assume that you have the report in front of you. Mm-hmm. And probably the highlight of the report is if you would turn to page 8. And I just want to talk of, this is government operations, and there are some things that will obviously be more germane to the Environmental Committee instead of the Government Operations Committee. But as we looked at the structure and the membership, our final report on page 8 is kind of the synopsis of it. We're recommending that this new LCCMR, Legislative Citizens and Commission on Legislative and Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources. By the way, we had all kinds of other acronyms you could have come up with too, and you might be creative in that as well, but we kind of backed away from having fun on that and went to a little bit more preserving the LCC or LCMR. But the 17 members, 10 of them are appointed by the legislature, 5 by the House, 5 by the Senate, at least 2 members from the minority. Only one person be an automatic appointment and or his or her designee, and that is the chair of the environmental finance committees in each one. Right now there are, I think, 3 or at least 3 chairs that are kind of automatic appointments to the LCMR, and so we've reduced that to 1. We also said that 7 members should be appointed by from citizens. 5 of those appointed by the governor, and 1 by the House, and 1 by the Senate in their normal procedures. And those 7 citizens, we can never take away the power of the governor to appoint who they want, or the speaker to appoint who he or she wants, or the Senate to appoint who they want. But we are recommending that they consider strongly the people that come through an advisory committee. We went back and looked at what happens in both higher education for the University of Minnesota and on the Judiciary Advisory Committee. You kind of go through a screening process. Doesn't mean that if you serve on, as I understand, on the Judiciary Advisory Committee that you couldn't be a candidate and you have your name submitted to the governor for a judgeship as well. But we've kind of picked up on that model a little bit. And so the governor has an authority to point between 5 or 8 citizens. Hopefully they're knowledgeable in the type of funding that environment interests in environment funding. That would be the screening, and if you want to serve on the new LCCMR, you'd kind of go through that screening process. Those names would be submitted to the governor and the Speaker of the House or the Senate, and respective people, and hopefully that they'll be appointed from that group that comes through that screening process. That's kind of the makeup of the committee, and I think that's probably the governance of the committee as we look at that. There are a couple of other things in governance that Dave and I had some strong discussions on, and we came to the conclusion that if you have 10 legislators and 7 citizens, that the legislators could overpower the citizens. So to strengthen the citizen involvement, we suggested that any proposal that comes through for funding have a supermajority. In other words, 12 votes, 2/3 of the people have it. So it empowers the citizens that are on that, on the committee to have a strong voice. I'm one who, and I think maybe Dave can speak for himself, but reluctantly likes supermajorities. But I think in this case it sends the right kind of message that citizens are meaningful and will be an integral part of the decision making. We are also making some other recommendations that are kind of somewhat maybe hard to enforce, but we suggest that the members not just show up to the voting process, but make sure that they understand and participate in all of the discussions. You can't force someone to show up, but the speaker could remove him, or the governor could remove him. With that, I think that's kind of the highlights of the governance. Dave, do you want to add any other things?
Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Lauren, just very, very quickly, I do think that what the task force had in mind on the supermajority, on the rotating chairs, the screening process, the qualifications, were at least two things. First of all, the perception of the people of the state of Minnesota that we were making a meaningful move in using the best and the brightest men and women to help us with this task and to empower that. Lauren has done a great job of explaining why we went to the supermajority. My life experiences have dealt with serving on boards where that was required and where that was an agent in wholeness, an agent in bringing us together, making us less likely to be parochial and most likely to need to really find ways to accommodate each other. And I think the experience that we had in the task force heartens me that this is going to carry forward as well. And the same thing has to do with the rotating chairs, same principle, that the citizens of the state would see that the citizens had a prominent role in this process. Thank you.
Madam Chair, there are some things that would be done by need to be done by the law, changing of the law. But there are some things that we are also recommending that the LCCMR adopt as policies. We'll just run through those a little bit, even though they may not pertain to this particular committee. Those are to make sure we adopt a long-range plan and that the funding projects have the long-range plan in mind as they are submitted to the legislature, that the LCCMR have instead of a biennial type of process that they do every year, that they have a standalone bill so it doesn't become a negotiating part to say, well, you got a project in this, so you have to vote for the whole environmental bill, so that it becomes a standalone, becomes more important if it's a standalone bill, something that can be done hopefully earlier in the session, so that people that are depending on this and the grant cycle can be up and running, and even though the money may not be available until July 1st, the start of the fiscal year, they're well aware that the legislature and the governor have acted on this earlier in the session, so that they can be prepared to start their projects. We are asking also that the LCC consider two pots of funds be separated. One be a regional pot of money, picking up, hopefully, on not establishing a new administration out in the regions, but picking up on some existing administrative type of structures that are there. We identified the regional conservation and RC&Ds and development
offices,
district offices throughout the state as a possibility. We can mandate that. But to be allow groups or citizens to be able to say, I have a smaller project, I don't want to have to come down to St. Paul to do it, can I go to Brainerd and present this project to a regional type of citizen group and be able to fund. Dave expressed the concern all the time. We want to make sure we don't have it, I think he said, an inch deep and a mile wide.
Right.
So we don't, we're not throwing money just to throw money, but I think it's an attempt to get the citizens involved and make the process a little bit more simpler to those that live in the state of Minnesota. And the third pot of money we recommended is ability to have what we call an emerging issues, for them to appropriate the money through the regular appropriation and say, this pot of money is available for emerging issues. I use the example as on July 15th, I find a deformed frog for the first time. I want to know why. Come to the LCC, get some money to study this, and they make a recommendation, and the governor has to approve the bill to be constitutional. We kind of picked up on the idea of the LAC, Advisory Committee. They make recommendations to the governor, but that the governor still has the authority to spend the money and to keep it constitutional. So with those changes, I think are the highlights of our recommendation to you. And hopefully you will read it and not have to read all of this.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I just wanted to point out to members, too, with some of the other stuff that's in your packet today, there's a nice kind of visual chart of information that they've been going through. We'll go in more detail when we get to the second half of the meeting with the bill that we'll review, but some of it might help to clarify their description that they've been talking about here the last few minutes. Mr. Zettner.
Madam Chair, I just would add that to the task force, just the product here, and I'm repeating myself a bit, but I want to make sure the emphasis is there. The product, the task force recommendation is, emphasis is you play, you come, you meet, we have a strategic plan that is going to be disciplined and focused. There's a relationship kept between the legislature and the citizens. The focus should wear well over time for our state. And I've said it before, I say it again, but I really feel that we're moving forward. This is really, I think, a historic recommendation in the history of our state. Thank you.
Thank you. And, gentlemen, I know that this task force group had a tough job when it originally got together in the fall, and I know you met through the holidays. I appreciate your hard work doing that. Many people are calling you miracle workers for bringing together all these issues and getting consensus and getting a unanimous vote as the report came out of committee. So congratulations. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. My wife said, does it have to take that long? That many meetings?
We appreciate your hard work. You are both volunteers, and it's much appreciated for what we see here at the legislature.
Thank you.
Okay, let's open it up to questions. Members, they did such a great job of describing it. We have no questions. I know it'll be heard in two other committees. So, Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I want to echo the appreciation for this. It's obvious that a lot of hard work went into this, and I don't know a whole lot about how this has all worked in the past, being a newcomer. So, but I just wanted to ask a little bit more about the supermajority idea. And first of all, as the LCMR works right now, how many people are needed to pass something out of that group? And I guess the concern that I have is just, whether when you require a supermajority, you might just prevent the group from being able to do anything, because as I understand it, there's been a lot of controversy in the past about how to use this money. Is that a concern?
Mr. Zettner.
Madam Chair, and I can't...
Liebling.
Representative Liebling. My focus on insisting that we have a supermajority, as I mentioned a moment ago, was based, first of all, back in 1972, I was appointed to the first Western Lake Superior Sanitary District. Yeah, that's the Duluth Superior, the Duluth Harbor. The members were from Cloquet, Duluth, South St. Louis County. And we all had a grand history of being very political and very parochial. And there were nine of us, and we had to have seven votes to do anything. And the fact is, the chemistry changed so that the opposite happened. We found out that we needed to listen to industry's interests, that industry needed to recognize the residential concerns, and that we all had to pay attention to the townships and to each other. And we were very, very effective in working through things and in getting things done. A similar, but not quite that much of a supermajority of the 5 years I spent on the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Board. Beyond those experiences, I've been involved in mediations on simple things like Timberwolves, Boundary Waters Canoe Area, Voyageurs National Park. No controversy in any of them. And I sat in a room with 15 people, none of whom thought they even wanted to say hi to each other on the first morning. Because they were treated respectfully, we had not a unanimous consent in those two tasks, in those task force, but we made recommendations of 13-2, 15-1, because people were treated respectfully. So, Lauren has indicated he has some reluctance over supermajority. My experiences and tough issues and natural resource and environmental issues are tough. It makes people work together, and it's a positive thing. I'm not sure what it takes to pass. There's 20 people on the current LCMR. Is it a simple majority, Lauren, that Chairman Tingle said, is it a simple majority that passes business down?
Yes, that's right.
And one of the things I said earlier, and to finish up on this, was there's a perception that the current system, as projects were discussed very often, did not have high attendance. So that when it came to time to vote, there was high attendance. And that's not directly related to your question, but I think requiring a supermajority will require serious attention throughout a project's existence before the new commission.
I
don't have any high expectations that you're going to take all the politics out of the project, nor should you, because I think politics sometimes is very beneficial. But I do think that having a supermajority, I went along with it for one reason. I think it really does give a strong voice to the citizens that are on the board. It gives them a meaningful voice. Sometimes we can be overpowering to them. I don't expect that to be, because I picked up the type of citizens that will be appointed. But I do think that it does empower them. You have to at least convince two people that the project is good. So I think it'll somewhat diminish the folkloreism a little bit, and more due to policy. I think it'll work very well.
And actually, to that point, I know with the Minnesota Arts Board that they require their members to be at the meeting listening to the proposals when they vote on those proposals. And so we thought that was an important piece that should be incorporated procedurally within the new group. And then also there was a question about, would the legislators show up for all those meetings, because right now there are times when, there's not 100% attendance at those meetings. And as you can see from the change in the structure, currently there are 10 House members, and with the new structure it would be 5 House members. Well, this last biennium, with appointments through the Speaker, there were 42 House members that requested to be on that 10-member situation for the LCMR from the House appointments. So if there's still 42 or more House members that now want these 5 positions on the commission, I think, there's going to be a strong message that, you better be at those meetings. And I think people will put it at, high priority on their calendar to be there. And so we're hoping that the supermajority votes on the commission will not be an issue as far as attendance. So maybe a little bit more than you wanted on your answer, Representative Leland, but is there a follow-up?
No, okay. Thank you.
Sure. Other questions? Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to those who chaired the task force, thank you for your dedication and work. This is an area that I, too, am still learning more about. But one concern I had, and you could maybe just kind of give me a little more background on, is my understanding is a lot of it was about the structure and how many people and how many seats and what's the best balance. But it raises kind of a new kind of purpose for the use of LCMR funds and a way of distributing it in terms of raising the possibility of regional grants. And I'll disclose that I have some concerns about the accountability of regional entities, and particularly in the metro area, it's hard for anyone to speak for our area. I mean, even within the city of Minneapolis, I mean, we vote for soil and water conservation districts, and I suspect 90% of the voters couldn't give you a coherent two-sentence description or a paragraph description of what they do in our region. And so it looks to me, the way the bill is drafted, that this is just an authority that's granted to the commission that doesn't come back with a plan that we would review and see whether we think it works or doesn't. Can you tell us if that was an area that you really spent a lot of time on, or was this something that you just put in as something to explore that, people wanted to keep on the to-do list? Because I do have some concerns about regional approaches sometimes dividing us more than bringing us together, and what is the real accountability?
And we'll let Phyllis answer the question.
I was going to say, to this point, Representative Kahn.
Well, actually, Madam Chair, Representative Walker, this is one of the points that I was incredibly strongly in favor of. And the model for it is the regional grants for the State Arts Board, which I was actually instrumental in setting up. in the mid-1970s. And what that did was that,
first of all, the one thing that it did was it got statewide support for the arts just magnified the way once we had that. And then the second thing it was that it put smaller decisions kind of where they belong. And it also was much more cost effective than the Metro Council. And if you look at, I looked at the distribution of the arts money and of the regional arts money, and it's not distributed on the basis of population at all. The Metro Council gets much less than what its supply is. But what you have the ability of doing is you, and as a legislator, what it means is that when all these people who come to you and say, I have this great project in my area and it, you know, which, could you get me LCMR funding? I think what you say to them now is that that's really a regional project, not a statewide project, and it should go to the regional, and it should go to the regional council, and we're allowing the regions to set up anything. There are some natural resource councils that are being set up statewide, and there are only like two regions, I think, that don't have any. I think one is the metro area.
Just one, metropolitan area.
Okay. And the metro area used the Metro Council for the arts issues, and it frankly works very well. And they're not totally, first of all, you control how much they're going to do by the amount of money that goes into that pot. You know, so, and believe it or not, I mean, this is a long time ago, but the regional arts, which now distributes several million, started with 100,000. And people were at 100,000 statewide, divided into 12 equal chunks. And people were ecstatic with the ability to give very small grants that would help get things off the ground. But I think they are bound by the strategic plan. They do have to do things that are related to the strategic plan. And we do, LCMR has had a local grants program through DNR, and we've always had oversight over that. That's always come back with a report. So I think, I just looking at the success of the arts model, I think this is one of the very exciting things that we're doing in this. And I don't think it's going to be quite as important in the, well, certainly in arts, it wasn't really as important in the metro area. But what it did in the arts thing is it meant that the Thief River Falls Fife and Drum Corps wasn't competing with the Guthrie on the basis of who deserved a grant. So I think, again, you'll get the same kind of thing happening. As I said, we can start small with a small amount of money used for that, and there are two oversight opportunities to happen in it. So, and if it doesn't work, you can just always eliminate it. But I see it being, I see the big beneficiaries of it being legislators who aren't going to have, because we have, you know, what we have, 400 grant proposals coming into LCMR, of which we could, which we're only going to give at the most 100, maybe 70 or something. So each one of these would have to be evaluated and then eliminated. Each one would have to have legislators there presenting it and, you know, getting their constituents mad because they hadn't done their job. And I just think this takes a burden off us, and it puts the decision for some of these projects where it should be.
Madam Chair, just to follow up, we are also recommending that they make sure that they tie into an existing administrative structure of some kind, and that they also leverage other funds when they do that. And it is an experiment, sure, but there's Representative Khan has stated there's at least a couple of different times when they're reviewing, and it still comes back to the legislature, and the governor will decide how much money goes into the regional pots.
Mr. Sentner.
Madam Chair, Representative Lefford, I was the skeptic on this one. My co-chair just mentioned an inch deep and a mile wide, and perhaps a lack of discipline. We are requiring in this recommendation that all those projects are consistent with the strategic plan, with the long-range focus. And I was won over by a couple of things. One of the emphasis as we discussed the new structure was the need to do a better job of communicating this task to the citizens of our state and involving them. This helps us in that way It engages people. It educates people. It does it in a positive manner. And the other thing I was reminded of is so often in our lifetime, all of us, we've looked at an environmental problem that causes a maximum amount of money to repair. There's opportunities out there to do things with rather minimal investments if we get on top of them first that are going to save the taxpayer money in the long run. So as the co-chair indicated, as Lauren indicated, all of this is set to sunset, but I think it's a worthy effort.
Follow-up, Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you for the background. That's really helpful. I have to say, and I like the idea of bringing small local projects down to a local level. I still have some concerns about the metro area in that it is so huge. It is over half the state's population. It's hard for, I don't know what the issues are in Dakota County. And, you know, I mean, it's harder to get a handle on. At the exurb area, it's changing so rapidly. And people who live in the exurbs have very little contact oftentimes with what's going on in city neighborhoods. And so I think, at least in the metro, I hope there'd be some discussion about whether or not something smaller might be a more appropriate geographic breakdown, because I think it's really hard. And I'd say in the metro, I still hear from the artists in my community. I have a lot of artists, and I love the regional system, but they really feel like they're unfairly competing with the Guthrie, the Children's Theater, and all of the Minnesota Orchestra, and all of the big institutions that really serve our whole state, and that our small emerging artists really are at a disadvantage. So I'd hope that and I don't think that applies exactly to here, but I think that the more we can make it local and define the issues as, you know, sort of on the same scale, I think we'll avoid some of those issues.
Okay. Other questions from members? Representative Dempsey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just noting on page 11, second paragraph, it says the advisory task force also recommends that the staff of the commission be given a stronger role in the screening and initial evaluation of proposals. Could you explain why and give me a little bit more information in regard to what you expect the outcome would be?
Madam Chair, Representative Dempsey, there was one of the perceptions that we dealt with, and I emphasize perception, is that in the relationship of the current LCMR with 20 legislators and the staff, that there might be, because of the political nature of the beast, reluctance on the part of the staff to be as vigorous and as much of an advocacy for and against projects as they might be. That's one of the criticisms that we heard in coming together and discussing the subject matter. We did this for two reasons. One, we anticipate a much larger volume of projects coming before the staff as the money from the trust fund and the biennium continues to grow, and we wanted to be as tactical, as strategic as possible, and we wanted to make a mark in this report that we expected the staff to be very front and center when projects did not meet the focus in the strategic plan that had been adopted.
And some of these, Madam Chair, Representative Dempsey, some of our recommendations obviously are administrative type things within the LCCMR itself, and this is one of them. But I think what we're recommending is the group also give the staff the ability to say, you know, this is our strategic plan, and your proposal really stinks, and we're not even going to consider it, forward it, or the staff say, here's our strategic plan, long-range plan, and your proposal fits in it, but maybe you can make it stronger if you would do this type of thing. So to kind of enhance the role of the administration of the projects within the LCCMR itself.
Other questions? Representative House.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'll do it.
I just wanted to comment on how jealous I was of the coming from a region on the metro area regional parks and trails, which Twin Cities metro area parks and regional trails was really a significant way of saving parks and really planning out areas and sharing priorities by having the regions define what's a regional park and what's significant. And that happened in 1977, and that has been a good funding source and a marvelous activity. In 1999, the Central Minnesota Parks and Trails System was established by then Senator Kleiss, and Representative Opeth brought it to and was almost unanimous. And that one has never quite made the page. And it has been cited as a model. That's the way cities and counties should operate in order to establish regions so that you know that minor projects are brought to the top and that there's some input from the bottom up rather than a committee happening here and you're kind of guessing at that priority. And I just wanted to point that out, that my area is very jealous. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, and members, thank you very much for the time today. Both Mr. Zip and myself and other members of the task force, the governor's office, are very pleased, I think, with the report, and we stand ready to answer any questions. And as we present this, as it goes through the legislative process, we know that it may be some tweaking, but I would hope that the tweaking would be very, very minimal.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Actually, if you could stay up there, we'll transition now to the actual bill testimony, but I'd like you to just be available for any additional questions. Okay, so with that, members, we're going to go to the second half of the meeting, actually looking at House File 2972, which relates to what we've been discussing over the past half hour or so. And with that, I'd like to turn the gavel over to Representative Kahn.
Representative Singleset, you wish to make a motion?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd like to move that House File 2972 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on the Environment Policy.
We've heard the motion. Is there any discussion of the motion?
Madam Chair, actually, yes. I have a couple of amendments I'd like to address first to get the bill in the shape I'd like.
That's right. Okay. So the motion is before us. That puts the bill before the committee, and we'll now go on with actions on the bill.
Okay. And actually, if the page could hand around the first amendment, it's marked H-2972-1. These are a couple of technical changes that we found in reviewing the bill over the last several days, and I'd like to get it in the shape for discussion today.
Any discussion amendments?
I'm trying to mark up my copy. I didn't get a chance to do that. Actually, maybe I'm going to lean on Mr. Shepherd there to get me through these. I haven't marked up my original yet. Okay. Madam Chair, I'd like to move the amendment, House File 2972-1, and as you can see, it makes the technical changes on page 3 and page 7. Mr. Shepherd, if you could maybe outline those two for us, please.
Mr. Shepherd.
Madam Chair and members, the first change is on page 3, line 3.21, and this clarifies that this Legislative Citizen Commission would continue to be in a legislative branch group. That was a recommendation of the task force, so for administrative purposes it would be in the legislative branch. And Madam Chair, the second change is purely technical. On page 7, line 7.27, it was pointed out to us this morning that we have a leftover reference in the bill to the old advisory committee, and that reference should be stricken. So that would just strike that reference, Madam Chair.
Any discussion of that amendment? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Amendment passes.
Thank you. And members, I think the second one is coming around. It's marked H-2972, A2, I'd like to move that amendment, and that is a clarification on the name. I know the Legislative and Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources, that was kind of brought up at the very end of the last meeting of the task force, and as people are talking about it, they're saying it's easier if there's a hyphen in there instead of the word and, so this would make it the Legislative dash or hyphen dash whatever Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources. So it's a clarification, and then what is listed on the amendment is all the places in the bill. It makes that change.
Any discussion? All those in favor of that amendment say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Amendment passes. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Appreciate taking a look at this bill today, and appreciate all the hard work of Mr. Zentner and Representative Solberg through the last few months in doing this task force group. And this bill reflects the results of the task force and puts it officially in Minnesota statute so that we can proceed as was discussed with the task force group. And so I know you have several different handouts in your packet that relate to this, and we've had a good discussion over the last hour. With the bill being in the DevOps committee, the key section that we need to look at is Section 5, which begins on page 3, and we've already actually been discussing a lot of this. Any of the environment-related issues, I'm sure, will be addressed in environment policy and then environment finance as the bill proceeds through those two committees. But I don't know. It's probably best if I just walk you through the three handouts. And with me here today, too, is Susan Thornton from the LCMR staff, and she was the key person, the point person from staff who took care of the task force and kept us on task and worked with us along with, we had a great facilitator, Ryan Church from the Department of Administration, who led us through the task force. Ms. Thornton, I don't know if you want to walk us through these sheets or we'd like to welcome her to the committee.
Ms. Thornton. Madam Chair, Susan Thornton with the LCMR staff. I believe the sheets that Representative Tinkelstedt is referring to look like this in your packet. And there are three single sheets here. The first one, membership. The second one, process. And the third one, products. And as the co-chairs have spoken to you, the governance structure that recommends project funding to the legislature is made up of seven non-legislative citizen-appointed members, five members from the Senate, five members from the House. And of those seven non-legislative citizen members, five will be appointed by the governor, one by the Senate, and one by the House. And those appointments will be recommended from a pool of a citizen selection committee. So it is recommended that the governor appoint a citizen selection committee to review applicants for a position on the LCCMR, it is now being called. Also, as part of the, and also as Representative Solberg mentioned, the only designated slots for the House and the Senate are the Environment Finance Chair or their designee. Currently, of the 10 members, each from the House and the Senate, there are a number of designated appointments to the LCMR, including the Chair of Ways and Means, the Chair of Environment Policy, the Chair of Environment Finance, and I may be missing one. So that reduces that number of automatic appointments. And, of course, the five senators and the five House members will be appointed each by their respective bodies. In addition, in the governance structure, it is recommended that formal technical advisory committees be set up to assist both in development and review of the strategic planning process and proposal review and project evaluation. And each of the, it's unknown right now, possibly 4 to 10 of those committees. It might ebb and flow over time. as to how those are set up, but they will be appointed by the LCCMR. And also they will be chaired by one of the citizen-appointed members. There is also, we maintain the peer review panel structure, which has been in place since the formation of the trust fund, and that is more specific to scientific research design expertise, and much more specific than the technical advisory committee members, although some of those technical advisory committee members may also serve on the panel.
And just to that point, Madam Chair and members, I think what's really exciting when you look at this first sheet here is just the number of citizens that will be involved in this LCCMR as we go forward here, and really using a lot of the experience and technical expertise of people from around the state in making these decisions that are so long-lasting and so important to our natural resources.
If I can interject something at this point. The technical advisory committee's idea, we picked up from Colorado, I believe, or at least one of the states that testified on this. We've usually done no pre-screening of the projects except from staff. And in the years that I was on LCMR, a couple of times we set them up. We set up one for forestry. We set up one for information management systems. And that worked incredibly well in terms of getting the people who was interested in having the grants funded together in trying to say what was a sensible progression. So that's something we haven't used before that looks for a lot of ability of citizen involvement.
And if we could go through the second page, Madam Chair, members.
Madam Chair, the second page, I think I started to cover as I walked through the first page also. It's the process page, and A is, again, I spoke to how the appointments would be made. The additional item is that the LCCMR is instructed to develop procedures to elect their chair and leadership, and that that chair would rotate between the citizen members and the legislative members. Currently, the LCMR does have its own procedures to elect their leadership, so obviously the group would be developing new procedures for that. The second part, B, planning and funding, this refers to the process that would be used, and so continuing to review the constitutional mandate, 116P, the governing statute, and resource plans, both developed by state agencies, local units of governments, private nonprofit institutions, on where what their strategic plans are saying for environment and natural resource funding and policy, and using all of that work and expertise to go into the commission's strategic plan and recommendations for funding. Again, we talked about the technical advisory committees reviewing the strategic plan and helping on funding proposals. And as Representative Kahn mentioned, we've done those formally in isolation, asking in groups for GIS review or for Forest Resource Council review. Staff has developed and used periodic technical advisory committees more on an informal basis, but this formalizes it with a direct link to the new commission. Again, peer review to assist in evaluating and the scientific design of research proposals. The six-year strategic plan, which was spoken to. Currently, there is a six-year strategic plan that's required. The recommendations of the task force were to make sure that that plan had measurable outcomes in it, and that that it also provided where they are recommending issue areas for emphasis of funding. And periodically that plan would be reviewed. And then the supermajority was talked about earlier this morning. And so their recommendations of this group in a standalone appropriation bill would be project funding, and then for specific projects, and then possibly the regional block grant appropriation, which we spoke to, and an emerging issues account, which we spoke to. Again, both of those items would be initiated by the commission upon further review, and it would be part of the funding recommendation package that would be presented to the legislature for your review. And then in addition, the last part would be the evaluation, and currently there are work programs for every project that have to be submitted periodically and final reports. That would continue. And the cycle would be on an annual basis rather than a biennial basis, which is the way it currently exists. But just because something is funded each year, that doesn't mean, you know, you could provide funding in year one and make that funding available for 2, 3, 4 years, depending on the project. And traditionally for research projects, July 1, you begin and end in the middle of field season. And so our biennial funding cycle doesn't work very well for that. So traditionally we give those between 3 and 4 years to complete their work.
Representative Offer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a quick question. On that, I noted that we're going to have annual legislation proposed here, and we usually do our budget on a biennial basis. This is going to really be time intensive on both the part of the citizens as well as the others who serve on the advisor committees as well as on the commission itself. And was there any discussion of kind of doing most of the work at a biennial cycle, and, you know, maybe you'd still have a few things that would take over, some new opportunities that arose that you might want to bring in a supplemental bill, but actually trying to make it more of a, you know, every other year, a big time drain on people, and then have a year to kind of be more engaged in other things?
Madam Chair, Representative Leffler. Okay. Representative Kahn, did you want to respond to that?
No, I'll let you. I thought three of us were kind of
I do not.
Twitching.
Representative Leffler recalled bifurcating or splitting it up in that sense. The peanut that was in front of all of our noses was to reduce the time from proposal to approval, to try to simplify the administration process and trying to get the dollars on the project or on the ground as quickly. Lauren or Representative Tinglestad or Kahn can correct me, or anyone in the audience if I miss that, but I don't think we discussed the issue that way.
The major point is that you'll have two cycles, so people can do recommendations with a year time frame instead of a two-year time frame. I would assume that some of the things, which I think will be continuing unless we finish them by now, like the county biological survey, I would assume that even the first that you could even do a two-year, you could do it, there's nothing that would stop you from doing a two-year appropriation in that first year. And but the point is that there would then be, usually the funding cycle was totally completed, the funding cycle to the outside with application was totally completed before the legislature met, before the odd year of the legislative session. And so therefore you had this long lag, and one of the things was to at least have the ability, and I think that's where the emerging issues one came up too, was the sense of, you know, if we had something like our equivalent of a Katrina and you really wanted to get stuff out really fast, we wanted to have a mechanism for doing that. So I think I've always opposed annual budgets, I think for the reasons that you're stating, and I think this will end up being, we never talked about it being a bifurcated process, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up that way, which you had the ones that clearly needed to be continued really funded for the 2 years. Representative Singleton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Loughlin, members. And I think with the annual cycle, you know, we always do a supplemental budget that goes through the Environment Finance Committee, so I can see that would definitely work. And then just kind of keep in mind, too, that these are trust fund dollars, so it's not really related to the general fund as far as where the money is coming from. So, I mean, it's definitely a doable aspect of making an annual process. We had one more page on the handout that maybe Ms. Thornton can finish up here.
Madam Chair, Representative Tinkelstead, one last thing on page 2 is, again, with our currently a biennial report is required to be submitted to the legislature on the funding of the trust fund, completion of projects, completion of research projects, and what's being recommended for the next cycle. That biennial reporting will continue. On page 3, the products, again, I think I, in talking through the first two pages with you, and with your discussion this morning already, I think those items have been covered.
Okay. Any further questions? Representative McNamara?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say to Representative Solberg and to Mr. Zentner, we really appreciate it. As someone who sat in on a number of these meetings, because I happen to be blessed to be one of the 20 LCMR members, and I don't know if I'll end up being one of the 10. My odds aren't very good, but... That said, the job you had before you was, I thought, originally maybe insurmountable, and to think that you pulled it off, I really commend you. I sat in some of the earlier meetings when some of the current members were expressing opinions substantially different than some of the citizen advisory members, and I thought, my goodness gracious, and I really believe you set an example that maybe we can learn from. You know, we as legislators aren't real happy, but I ran into Karen, and I should know her last name, the citizen advisory lady last night, and I know she's not completely happy, but I really, really want to say, members, that this is terrific news for us, and thank you. I really do believe that, because I didn't know you'd be able to pull it off, and thank you for doing it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McNamara, one of the interesting things is that we kept two or three things in mind all the time. Is to try to solve perceived problems. I say perceived because I didn't think there was any problems to begin with. And they thought there were all kinds of problems. So we started off and we said, well, we do need to solve the problem. We also had one other standard that we had kind of before us all the time, and I talked to Senator Fredrickson yesterday on this. I said, are you happy with the product? And he said, yes. I said, well, his name was used an awful lot in negotiation between Dave and I and others, and that is, he said, well, if we can get this past Senator Fredrickson, because he was extremely adamant on one. I said, we'll be doing okay. That was kind of our standard that we wanted to have as our test. The other thing that I think helped us a great deal is early on in our first meeting, the first time I met Mr. Zentner, the recommendation was that we have a facilitator. And I thought that was a good idea. Dave thought it was stupid. I did. And a waste of money, maybe, huh? But I think that the facilitator really helped us, because as sometimes we in this room or in the negotiations we had with Dave and myself and talking through the issues, the facilitator was there, and he would say things like, "No, I heard you say, and I heard him say, and you're saying the same things only in different words." And that was a way to kind of bring us together. And it was very, very helpful. So thank you.
Madam Chair, Representative McNamara, thank you very much for the generous comments. Lauren said it all. I can only add that I have a great deal of faith invested in people. Again, if we treat each other respectfully, if we give each other room, I'm as opinionated as any human being on this planet. I'm extremely talkative. I think I know an awful lot, but you know, we all listen to each other, and it was great. I was grateful. Phyllis had a great sense of history, and people like Representative Bishop and Gary, and the citizens, Pam Landers and Karen Bowen and Ryan Heinegger, all of those people. The 16 worked hard, and I was grateful for their presence. This was a wonderful opportunity as a citizen. And thank you very much.
And I would agree, Madam Chair, with Dave. He's got a strong sense of opinion.
I actually have a final challenge that there wasn't any way to write it into the report that I put out, and it's actually to the legislature or the next legislature, is that we could gain five, and I've asked staff to put some of this history together, or maybe I only thought about asking them, but we could gain 5 months on the process. If we took this bill that had been agreed on, and we've always had it, we agree on it, and then we tuck it into the final environmental finance bill. If we didn't do that, if we passed it in the first month of session as a standalone bill, we would gain 5 months on the 4 months, whatever it is, on people's work, which is critically important on these issues that are field-related issues. You could gain a whole growing session. And if you look at the changes, except when we had one really obnoxious LCMR and environmental finance chair who will remain nameless, we've usually not made any changes in the bill from the time that it's very insignificant changes have been made in it, but kept out as this bargaining chip. Now, if you don't do anything to a bargaining chip, it's really not a very useful bargaining chip. But if the legislature could get this understanding and could pass it, you know, through, has to go through the legislative process, but do it in that first, in the first few weeks of the session. And it's not dependent on the budget. It's not dependent the rest of the budget. And if there are changes that you need to make, you still have the chance to make them again in the environment. That would do an enormous amount to getting rid of the delay and moving things out faster with less administrative. But that's not covered by this. That's for us to do, those of us who are back here to do next year.
But, Madam Chair, that is one of our recommendations also.
That it be standalone. Did you say that it passed early?
I don't know if we said early or not, but it was anticipated to be early.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
So, Madam Chair and members, thank you for looking at this bill. Perhaps at this time we should have any members from the audience that would like to testify for or against the bill.
Anyone from the audience who would like to say something? Okay. I think you've summarized everything that everyone wanted to say. I see some nods. I see some. So, I think if there's no other comments or questions from the committee or from the people at the table, Representative Tinglesett, you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I do want to point out on page 9 of the bill, section 16, there is an appropriation amount, and certainly this will be dealt with as it goes to the Finance Committee. But one of the items that was in the LCMR veto package from last year was the administrative budget for the LCMR staff. And we wanted to make sure that that funding would be tied to this bill, because obviously we need our hardworking, wonderful staff to make sure that these changes are implemented. So just to make note that that is a part of this package that's traveling. And then in regards to the repealer section, section 18, which is referenced on page 9, that deletes the part of the law right now that deals with the current structure. There's a separate Citizens Advisory Committee, which is now replaced with these various other organizational pieces that we've just discussed. So I wanted to make sure that members were aware of those parts of the bill as well.
Okay.
If there's no testimony, Madam Chair, I'd like to renew my motion that House File 2972, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources Policy.
Okay. Any further discussion of that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. And you're on your way.
Chair member.
Thank you.
Okay, I think there's no further business before the committee. The committee is adjourned.